Hello, I'm Jeffrey Rosato, and welcome to this very special edition of the DVD Marquee. Now, those of you that have heard our show before know that Shane, Stan, Jeff Reynolds, and I take about four movies and talk about them for the better part of a half hour, 45 minutes, or whatever. Oftentimes, when we all sit down to record our shows, in post-production, we'll take a lot of stuff out. We'll try and keep things to a reasonable amount of time in order not to bore you and to keep things moving. But in the case of Paul Greengrass's amazing film, United 93, we just couldn't do that. I listened to what Stan and I had recorded, and there was very little of it that I wanted to leave out. So what you're about to hear is a very special program devoted to United 93. We feel it's an important film, it's an amazing film, it's a film that needs to be seen by everyone. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the fear that I had in resisting this film for a while, even though I had it in my possession for the better part of a month or so before I sat down to watch it. And just, it's basically a very raw, emotional discussion of what we feel is the best film of 2006.
Good one.
Yeah, actually, conducive to just heading out and enjoying a day.
Hey, this is Sandy in the back. Can you call ground and see if we can get some more pillows and blankets?
The white zone is for immediate.
The meeting last night was great.
I'm sure he's thrilled.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin boarding. For the load of our first class passengers, please make their way over to gate 17.
Good morning, okay. Sir. You just made it. 4D?
Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, looks like we've run into a little bit of rush hour traffic this morning. Unfortunately, it's going to be about a 30-minute delay. I appreciate your patience. We're currently number one for departure. Flight attendants, prepare for takeoff, please.
I'd like to be home with my babies.
United 93, runway 4 left, clear for takeoff.
Roger that.
Sir. CNN's reporting a light civil aircraft has just hit the World Trade Center.
Man, that's a lot of smoke.
We got another one.
We got another hijack?
United 175 dropped his transponder off.
We got a possible hijack. Weapons. Scramble those fighters in over Manhattan.
Copy that.
We've reached our cruising altitude of 35,000 feet, and I'm going to turn the fastest seatbelt sign off. You are safe to move about the cabin.
Descending rapidly.
This aircraft is going down, I'm telling you right now.
Here's one with juice for you.
No, there he is. There he is right there.
Right up the Hudson River.
This is a hijack. He's going to hit this guy.
Oh! Look at that.
Oh my gosh.
Two aircraft hit the World Trade Center. Just left Newark, the weather was beautiful.
We have a plane headed toward the Capitol.
What the hell is wrong out there?
May we engage, sir?
I am on a plane that has been hijacked.
Yes, sir. I got F-16s turning and burning towards Washington.
Two planes just hit the World Trade Center.
Nobody's gonna help us.
We have to do something right now.
Colonel, I need rules of engagement.
Do we shoot this flight down?
We have to do it now, because we know what happens if we just sit here and do nothing.
And this is a film that didn't do very well at the box office, so I evidently wasn't alone in... You know, I wanted to see it, but I didn't want to see it, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
A lot of people have debated on whether or not it's too soon for a film like this. I think it isn't. I think it's a very courageous film. It certainly had an emotional impact that I don't think I saw coming, because we all know what happened on that plane. We know that the passengers took over, and they said it was headed toward the Capitol building. And to think that these people... stood up and made a stand is just awe-inspiring.
It's an amazing movie. I mean, it's just an amazing movie. And I think as soon as you start watching it, the point of whether it's too soon or not really, I think, is moot after a while. Because, well, I mean, if this had been a really terrible movie, this could have been a disaster. I mean, it could have been
Absolutely.
It could have been an exercise in incredibly bad taste. But I think it's by far the best movie I've seen this year. I don't know how to describe it.
It chilled me from the opening frames onward. I mean, you know, you've got John Powers' score beginning with those tribal drums, and your heart just goes into overdrive, and you see the hijackers praying in their native language. And what makes it even more ominous is that very little of it is subtitled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shot in, you know, the whole film is shot in a cinema verite documentary style.
What really got me at the beginning, and certain movies are this way, and I don't know how to explain it, but there's such an incredible confidence in this movie. Do you know what I mean? It's shot so confidently from the first frame. And some movies are just like that, and you just know the movie is in good hands. And I don't know if I've even seen anything else by Paul Greengrass, but I definitely, after seeing this, I definitely want to go up and see some of the other stuff he's done. But one of the things that really struck me while watching the movie is, yeah, you know, obviously you know the ending going into it. You know what's going to happen. What got me was, as a movie, as I'm watching this, the movie part of my brain started taking over, you know, as they're trying to figure out a way, you know, to take down the hijackers, as they're figuring out what's going on, you know, as they're coming up with a plan of action and everything. There's the movie part of me of sitting there thinking, maybe this is going to work. And that's a sign of great filmmaking. I think, just from a filmmaking point of view. And, another thing, it really, and I guess this is all stuff I had thought about, but when you're watching this movie, it drives certain points home. It makes them so much clearer than maybe you really thought about before, because I know I had thought about this, but you realize the people on the plane never see the attack on the World Trade Center.
Right.
It would be, they hear about it, but they never had those, you know, they never saw those images, you know, those images that I think are burning all of our brains. They had to just act on that information, and just trying to imagine what was going on in their heads right then. It's just awful.
You know, and it also doesn't happen until late in the film when they start to get this game plan together. It's like, you know, we've got to fight back. They're not going to land this plane, as one of the passengers said. But the beginning of the film, the way that it portrays everything happening at the main air traffic control center, Ben Sliney, I believe is his name, playing himself, and boy, what a job that was.
I was really impressed by that, because a lot of people are playing themselves here, and you wouldn't know that. I mean, right. they do a great, I mean, well, obviously they're playing themselves, but you wouldn't think that. It doesn't stand out, you know, that these aren't actors, because they're actually pretty good.
They are, and it's a compliment to them, because just I don't know if I could have done it. And if you look at the making of for this film that we'll talk about in a little bit, you know, there's quite a few people who are portrayed, or at least loosely portrayed in the film, that did not participate, you know, or play themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But in Ben Sliney's case, it was his first day on the job, and I cannot imagine his state of mind. We can see it, of course, but just, you know, seeing it in this kind of setting is one thing, but to actually go through it is another.
Right.
And, you know, I think he did a hell of a job, all things considered. I think that man saved a lot of lives that day by doing what he did, you know, calling an end to every flight in the country, you know, telling them to land no matter where, stopping all the international traffic. I mean, who knows what else could have happened? Because, you know, I don't want to get deep into, you know, what could have happened that day, but just, you know, there's been a lot of speculations that cities like Chicago and LA were involved in this plot as well. So, you know, my hat goes off to him. You know, you can't second guess a tragedy like this.
Right.
You can't. And I think one of the strongest aspects of the film is the way that they portrayed all of the activities going on at the various places in the country, from the National Guard to other air traffic control centers, and just did it very, very well. It just brought it all back.
It's amazing. It's almost like two different movies in a sense, because I think the first hour of the movie seems mainly focused on the guys on the ground. And
right.
and figuring out this puzzle, and it's very interesting watching what goes on and how they figured this out and how they figured that out. And I think what got me was, and again, we've all seen this, we've all seen the footage, the plane sitting in the towers 1,000 times. What got me was that when you see it in the movie, when you see the impact in the Trade Center, it's still, in a weird way, is like seeing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And that really surprised me.
It was almost like a 24 episode. I mean, on screen, let's see CNN on screen, and then you see that footage mm-hmm. and the reaction on their faces, and it's just a very powerful moment. But even more powerful is the ending, the way that that was portrayed. And correct me if I'm wrong, it kind of made the guy who was the terrorist that was controlling the plane didn't really know what he was doing, you know. I get the strong sense that, you know, he just was not, he was not with it. And it just kind of makes you wonder, I mean, you know, had they been able to get there just a minute or two sooner, mm-hmm. I mean, just, you know, it's very sad. But at the same time, you know, Roger Ebert, I don't have it here in front of me, but he said that it just totally threw him for a loop. But he kind of looked at it as a very heroic ending, a very noble ending, because, you know, you know, it's very difficult to talk about this film. I'll be honest with everybody. It's very difficult. I didn't know anybody on that plane, but it feels like I lost some members of my family. Mm-hmm. I think we all lost a lot of ourselves that day. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, what a terrific film. And I hope that this film is not overlooked at Oscar time, because I think it would be quite the noble gesture to give it some kind of recognition. Matter of fact, I wouldn't mind seeing a special Oscar given to this film because of just plain courage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what really makes this one unique is so many of the people who are actually there are in the movie. And I think that lends it a certain credibility.
Yeah.
I agree too. I mean, I think it's the best film I've seen this year. We're only in September here, but I definitely think this should be recognized when Oscar time comes around.
To sum up my feelings on this film before we get into the bonus features, after it was over, did you have the same kind of response that I did? I had to go outside and just walk around the neighborhood for about 10 minutes. And when I got back to my driveway, I just put my head down and prayed for the families of all the victims, not just on that flight, but everybody who died on that horrible, horrible day, and for everyone in a position of authority that did all they could have under the circumstances where they basically had to learn by trial and error.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't not be affected by the ending of this movie. Even though, you know, you sit there for 2 hours and you know it's coming. But I'd also like to say I found it very uplifting too. I mean, in a weird way. I mean, just looking at the courage these people had. I mean, there is something positive, I think, to be taken out of this. You know, don't think of it necessarily as, oh, the ending is going to be depressing. Yes, the ending is going to be depressing, but it's also, I don't know, it's a little more complicated than that, I think.
But speaking of the extras, which we're going to get into now, I think they're all handled tastefully and with a lot of respect for the victims' families, and probably the finest extra on the single. Well, there's two different versions of this film out right now. If you get the single disc version, the only extra that you're going to get is a documentary called United 93, The Families and the Films. And it takes a lot of the clips from the film, and we get to meet the real-life relatives of the victims. And in some cases, they're reunited with the actors who were actually not reunited, but some of them meeting the actors that portray their loved ones in the film for the first time. And some of those were really, really moving.
Mm-hmm. I have to admit, we watched this, I think we both watched this, around the actual anniversary, around the fifth anniversary of
right.
September 11th. And to be honest, I didn't look at all the extras because, for me, the movie was enough. For right now, for what now, and what I mean by that is, don't get me wrong, because as I was watching this movie, there was so much coverage on 9/11. This is a movie I want to go back to. This is a movie I want to go back. I want to listen to the commentary. I want to see the documentaries on the family, but I kind of want to pace it out. If that makes any sense.
Oh, it definitely makes a lot of sense. I mean, it was very difficult to get through this in 2 days, but I just felt, you know, it was my obligation, being, you know, what I am on this show, mm-hmm. you know, the host and the producer and what have you. But it wasn't an easy sit through, I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. But just you talked about the film being a very moving way, you know, very moving in mm-hmm. a way. This documentary, when you get a chance to see it, it's just really going to, you know, you're going to have a box of Kleenex handy, because just there are just so many moments with these very courageous family members that are just striking funny as they remember some touching things about their loved ones, you know, characteristics that just, you know, made their lives so special. And, you know, I can't say enough about it. It's very, very well done. Mm-hmm. The special edition has a bonus disc that contains a film. I can find it here. Keep in mind, once again, there's two different versions of the film out right now. Edition, the two-disc version has a documentary called Chasing Planes, and you see a lot of the participants from the film, some of whom played themselves and others whom were, you know, they were loosely portrayed, talking about all the activity that was going on and how it just seemed to be just another typical day. And boy, it was not a typical day by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good documentary. I mean, how can you point a camera at anybody involved in the slightest capacity in what was going on in that day? And how can it not be riveting?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think it's just as riveting as the film itself, if not more so, because you're looking at the people who went through that hell, mm-hmm. who went through that. You know,
yeah, and there's a lot of information you don't know. You learn, like, the fighter pilots, you know, not, you know, how they're told, hey, go do this, but they don't, you know, they have really no clue. They don't know near as much as any of us sitting at home watching CNN.
Right.
No. For me, honestly, I mean, yeah, the bonus features are nice. I mean, this is, I think they could have put nothing else on this disc, and I think just solely based on the movie, I would recommend it.
It's funny you say that, because in my notes here, I put down this film could have been in monophonic in black and white, and it still would have been a great movie. You know, some other extras, you know, we get a commentary from Paul Greengrass, which is very dry, but very informative. He wanted to approach the tragedy very accurately, got to know quite a few of the victims' families, did a lot of research, and it shows from, like, the first frame to the last. It just did a super job with an emotional Herculean task, I'll put it that way. And something really, really special. This might have been a mere throwaway, but there's a memorial page for every one of the victims.
Yes.
That are at least three pages long, and there are a lot of great stories, and I haven't gone through all of them myself, but just I plan to, because, you know, just what a nice little touch to put on this set to include that. And really, that's all we can say, folks. So Stan thinks it's the best movie of the year, and I have to say that now Brick has been demoted to second place, unfortunately, for Ryan Johnson, but I think he'll understand. United 93, it's a very important film that everyone should see, and it's out now in both a single disc and two-disc edition from Universal Home Video. And that's the way it was when Stan and I sat down to talk about that amazing piece of filmmaking on the night of September 19th, 2006. Thank you all, as always, for listening to our show. But before we close, I want to tell you all about a very special fundraising effort that Universal Pictures is assisting with. A $30 million campaign is underway to establish a national memorial to honor the passengers and crew of United 93. You can help make the dream of a planned opening in 2011 a reality. Find out how by visiting www.honorflight93.org. Let us not forget the tremendous, heroic, and courageous sacrifices these individuals made on that fateful day. Once again, that's www.honorflight93.org. For Stan Williams, Shane McDonald, and Jeff Reynolds, I'm Jeffrey Rosato. Thank you for listening.
On the next episode of the DVD Marquee, we're going to talk about one thing and one thing only. Star Wars. That's right, we're going to talk about the recently released limited editions now available in store. So until then, may the Force be with you.